Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In contrast to the success in Nigeria, the Ebola crisis here in the U.S. has become an argument in the middle of this election campaign to talk about sealing America into some kind of a bubble suit. Here's Republican Tom Tillis in a debate against Democratic incumbent Kay Hagan, his opponent in North Carolina's Senate race.
The fact of the matter is, Senator Hagan has failed the people of North Carolina and the nation by not securing our border. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got an Ebola outbreak. We have bad actors that can come across the border. We need to seal the border and secure it.
Bad actors? Americans retain this sense that Africa constitutes a menace of infectious diseases. It's an unjustified fear with examples from American politics and lurid headlines speaking about Typhoid Mary, the AIDS epidemic, to our current Ebola crisis. Our next guest says that the language of exclusion and fear of infection have a long history. Joining us is Harriet Washington, author of the books Deadly Monopolies and Medical Apartheid, The Dark History of Medical Experimentation on Black Africans from Colonial Times to the Present. Harriet, welcome.
Hello, John. I'm very pleased to be with you again.
So how far does this go back, and what kinds of language have you studied?
One could argue that it goes back to the discovery of the germ theory. Very quickly, we saw infection used to promulgate xenophobia and fear of others. And in fact, more currently, we have evolutionary biologists who actually coined a term for this called protective prejudice. People like Mark Schaller, who've written at great length about how when an infection looms, it evokes all the worst xenophobic and fear of others in us. And unfortunately, we're seeing that reflected very dramatically in the language and in the political stances that Ebola is being conscripted to support.
You know, I don't want to cause you to speculate here, but I'm wondering if there's a possibility that Thomas Duncan, the one fatality here, was turned away from that Dallas hospital because people just simply didn't want to deal with him and said, oh, you've got a flu, go away, rather than looking at his case as really someone here in the United States who constitutes a threat and treating him as any humanitarian hospital might have done for maybe someone else who came in with those symptoms.
You're right. Looking at one case, it is indeed speculation. However, when you look at treatment of people en masse, in many cases, then patterns begin to emerge. It certainly is not at all. I think it's very likely. And I think we also have to remember that Duncan, like one quarter of the people in his state, I think, did not have health insurance, which certainly did not help the situation.
Let's move away from Thomas Duncan for a moment. Where does Typhoid Mary come from?
Well, I use her as an illustration of how a disease, a fear of infection, can be used in order to encapsulate, you know, our deepest fears and also our biases against people. When I was taught about Typhoid Mary, probably like others, she was actually presented as rather an evil figure. You know, the stress was laid upon the fact that she was causing people to sicken and sometimes die, that she was concealing the fact of her ability to do this. So she became a reviled figure. And in the end, she was incarcerated. She was imprisoned, essentially, for spreading illness. She wasn't sick herself. She was a carrier. And also, a lot of the reason why she was reviled and cast as such an evil figure was that during that time, hibernophobia reigned in the U.S. Basically, she was Irish. There was a lot of anti-Irish sentiment. It was a reviled, despised minority group at that time. And that certainly figured into her treatment and into the way she was presented as not a person with a medical issue, but rather a person who herself was a focus of disease and a focus of fear. And too often, we make the mistake of conflating a microbe, a pathogen that is dangerous to us and is evil in our thinking with the person who carries it. And she's a perfect example of that. And so I would submit our, you know, people with Ebola, when people begin talking about closing the borders and restricting immigration, I see the same sentiments, I see the same sort of florid language being used as Typhoid Mary was subjected to.
And Africans are simply just the latest incarnation of foreigners who are the subject of fear in the political rhetoric in the United States.
Well, yeah, I guess I'd quibble with the word latest, but
right.
Yes, they certainly are. They're certainly one of these reviled, despised minority groups who are viewed as Mark Chandler's language, Protective Prejudice, he talks about people, a behavioral immune system. We have a physiological immune system that tends to single out and destroy microbes, but we also have a behavioral immune system that causes us to engage in behaviors that will also single out and destroy possible sources of infection. The problem is our behavioral immune system is not very accurate. You know, we're not equipped physiologically to tell who is and who isn't a danger. So we tend to go after people who are strange because they could possibly present a danger. And I see with a lot of the overblown language and overreaction, I see this sort of thing happening.
What do you make of the U.S. response to Ebola in West Africa, the setting up of clinics and the using of the military to go in there? I'm wondering if there's a tendency to be viewing that from the sort of Liberian perspective as a new form of colonialism, especially when very sort of low-tech techniques in places like Nigeria and, Senegal have been quite successful in keeping this disease in check.
Well, this is precisely what I have been saying, that a military response is something that we do frequently, and it's very ill-considered, especially from the perspective of the people that we are going to ostensibly try to help. The problem is that they are already contending with disease, which is frightening enough, and then to have an aggressive military presence is probably not the most helpful thing.
Well, Harriet Washington, very interesting issues to think about there. Harriet Washington is the author of the books Deadly Monopolies and Medical Apartheid, The Dark History of Medical Experimentation on Black Americans from Colonial Times to the Present. Thanks so much, Harriet.
Thank you, John.